Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, BT and Sal back here on the Fans 103. Back to these calls. So I want to pick something up again about the Yankees, and we'll get to these Yankee calls, as I said, and the Rogers stuff, and John Mara spoke. We've been bouncing around a little bit here on the show.
One more thing, maybe two.
Yeah.
Do you want to break out the over-unders later before I go on vacation next week? You want to revisit it in 2 weeks?
See,
won't be next week.
See.
We could wait 2 weeks. But it made me think of it before. We're getting down to it now, like 50. When you were doing the over-unders, Yankees and Mets, I was like, ooh, okay.
You thinking about it?
Oh, wait,
I feel like it's a little bit too early.
Okay,
so we're kind of stuffing it in here if we do it today.
Okay, so then, because I'm not going to be here next week.
Yeah, I'm here 2 days
week.
Next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
You'll be here Monday, Tuesday.
I'll be here Monday and Tuesday, and then I'm off Wednesday, Thursday,
right,
Friday.
So
you're off the whole week.
Then
we'll do it the next week.
We'll
That's fine.
It. Okay.
Okay. The Gerrit Cole thing, by the way, you better hope that he's healthy. You had over 20 starts, right?
No, I had under.
Oh, you had under.
So I should be good now. I didn't even think about that.
You did have
remember,
the under.
It was going to be tough anyway for him to get it, but the fact that he missed that start
and not a lot to go Sunday, although I think he probably will.
I would probably say that that's...
All right. You'll do it when you get back.
Yeah, okay.
Let's push it back. Yep. So here's my question about the Yankee lineup. Now, I believe in Verdugo a lot. You believe in him a little,
mm-hmm.
out of respect to what's been a pretty solid career thus far, despite looking really bad for a long stretch. He's rediscovered his stroke. He's a doubles guy. He's an energy guy. Good fielder. All right. I don't love him as a leadoff hitter.
Yeah, that's the point. He should be a 7 hitter. 6-7, right.
Yeah, 6-7, which where he was to start the year.
He's been their cleanup hitter. When they were going at their best, he was their cleanup hitter. And now that they're at their best again, he's their leadoff hitter.
That's true. There is some sort of correlation. When he's doing well, they're doing well. So it's interesting. But my question is this. Let's say he begins to falter soon, okay? And Jazz Chisholm, not that he's going to keep mashing four mm-hmm. bombs every mm-hmm. couple of games, but really is a force. Do you mess with Chisholm being very comfortable his first couple of weeks as a Yankee, hitting where he's been now, 5-6, keep him there? Or do you elevate him to the one spot, a place that he's familiar with, but you risk maybe messing with karma?
I think the New York Yankees' best lineup is with either Volpe batting leadoff or with Jazz batting leadoff. I think that's going to be their best lineup. So I don't know which one it's going to be. I would probably say Jazz at this point because they're going to be afraid to move Volpe. They've already shown that they've been afraid, and then they do it, and then he struggled, then they had to go back. So maybe this is not going to be the year for Volpe to get another opportunity to lead off. I think ultimately it's going to be Jazz in front of Soto and Judge. And I think that that's best for them. I mean, I can't imagine them going to LeMayu even if he gets going here. And I don't think that Verdugo is going to be long for it. I don't think that's their best lineup. He's been great here as of late.
Yeah.
And maybe they do stick with it. Who knows? But I think ultimately their best lineup, much like I said before the year, that their best lineup was going to be Volpe, Soto, Judge. Now I think it's going to be Jazz, Soto, Judge.
See, they would never do this, and I'm going to push this forward a year just for a moment, mm-hmm. right? Let's say Soto stays. You know that I think he will. The old way of doing it would be very simple. Like when the Yankees tried, now I know it's very different, and Ricky's Ricky, but you had Ricky as the leadoff man. Willie Randolph batted second.
Yeah.
Mattingly batted third.
You want to go Volpe, Jazz, 1-2?
Yeah.
That's a loaded lineup.
I mean,
Soto,
if you,
Judge.
Yeah. I mean, Jazz, you know, he's 26. I think he's going to be.
Or Jazz Volpe, however you want to. You would go.
I was thinking Jazz Volpe.
Right? Yeah.
I was thinking Jazz Volpe. Although you really could make the case that Volpe 1, Jazz 2 as a lefty, and Volpe as a lefty, Jazz as a lefty batter, and Volpe on first base, obstructing the catchers. It's a little baseball thing, but as a lefty in the batter's box, it's tougher to throw somebody out stealing when he can't see him.
But then you have the back-to-back lefties with Jazz and Soto.
Yeah, but Soto can hit.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
I mean, I know.
I mean, Jazz apparently too. Crushing one off that nasty-looking lefty against Philadelphia the other night.
That was pretty wild. But can you imagine, let's just say Jazz won. Jazz won, Volpe 2, Soto 3, Judge 4, Dominguez 5.
I mean, you could go, even if it's not Dominguez, you go Stanton. Or if you want lefty, you go Verdugo.
I'm talking about next year, though. I don't think Verdugo's on the team next year.
I'm talking about right now.
I would love this. I don't think they'll do it. They're not going to put Soto 3 and Judge 4 this year.
No, they're not going to do it.
They're not going to do it next year either.
Right. They're not going to do it, but read that. I mean,
Jazz, Volpe. I wouldn't even try to be sophomoric there. Jazz, Volpe, Soto, Judge. Jazz, because I hear those idiots in the morning playing the soundbite 37,000 times coming in, and it got in my head.
Yeah, I know. That's why I always say, I try not to say his full name. I just say Jazz and try to keep it simple.
Well, so did BT just now.
I know. I actually did.
You know why I did that? Because look at my chicken scratch. What does that look like?
It looks like J.I., right? Yeah, J.I.
All right. Jazz, Volpe, Soto, Judge, Dominguez. So let me just do the positions here, too. So, because this is going to factor
that into... That is a sick lineup.
Sick!
I know they're not going to do it. I know it's too old school. And I know you'd rather have Soto and Judge getting up more often than not. But my God, that's putting the pressure on. Jazz,
all right, so now follow me. This is crazy. I'm going to put Dominguez. This is next year. Dominguez in center. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put Judge in right, and I'm going to put Soto in left.
That outfield. Stanton.
Well, forget it. Stanton's going to
done or
I don't know where to put it. I'm going to put Jazz at next year. Second base.
Right.
Tour is gone.
100%.
Bye bye.
He is their second baseman. I mean, that is going to happen. Okay. Yeah.
Now again, just having funville here.
Soto, you said in left.
Soto in left.
Okay, right. And Judge in
right. Judge in right. Jazz in center. Jazz at second. Volpe at short. Dominguez in center. Spencer Jones at first.
Oh, God.
We're going to have a little fun. Yeah. Austin Wells behind the dish. Stanton's your DH. You still need a third baseman. Who am I missing here?
LeMahieu's still under contract.
I know he is. Yeah. Two more years, too. Not just next year. So... they would see, and this is where baseball bothers you. Like, if you're looking at something that could be so, like, Jazz can run, Volpe can run, Soto's insane, Judge is insane. Why wouldn't you just trot that out in succession? But they won't.
I mean, I love the look of that.
Me too.
Even for now, Jazz, Volpe, Soto, Judge. And again, is it really that much of a difference? Like, you're getting. I mean, I guess.
The one thing is, you're not guaranteed to get Judge up in the first inning.
Yeah.
It probably equates
that changes
to
things.
You know, 20 or 30 extra bats over the course, maybe more the course of a year for those guys.
So then let's meet in the middle.
Yeah.
And probably what they're going to do, like I said, eventually, I think they're going to make Jazz the leadoff hitter. If you have Volpe 9, does that work? Because then you have it, you know, once it gets turned around.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Volpe, Jazz, Soto, Judge.
See, but here's the thing. If Volpe's hitting ninth next year, then Volpe's just not what he needs to be. I mean, Volpe can't be the 9 hitter. He's a first-round pick.
Yeah. No, I know.
But I mean, like, I need more than 9 hitter Volpe in year 3.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I do. And maybe you just have Jazz behind Judge then. Volpe 1.
That's definitely something that I do think that they
Volpe 1
will explore.
But this year, that's not going to happen. I mean, I don't know. I don't think Volpe's going to be the leadoff hitter again this year, especially with the addition of Jazz now.
You know, I don't think so either, but the way they've yo-yoed him around, I don't know. Who knows what they're going to do?
Yeah. Either way, it should be a on-paper loaded lineup. What do you think of Rice, before we get back to the calls here? What do you think of Rice?
He's intriguing enough where I'm not ruling him out.
Right.
See, I know the average is low. The OPS is actually pretty
decent. But it gives you good at-bats.
That's where I was going. It's got a plan.
That's what I mean.
And I like that.
I like it. And he's got power.
Yeah.
And now, I'm not an all-or-nothing guy, but for that spot, you're not looking for a ton there. You just want somebody that gives you good at-bats, and he's got the threat of the long ball.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in clutch spots. He's given good at-bats. I like Ben Rice.
I do, too.
Now, we need to see a lot more to know if he's going to stick or not, but I know you said quickly for next year, Spencer Jones at first base. Who's to say that Ben Rice can't be that guy?
What about Jazz 1, Ben Rice 2, if he shows you more? He's pretty patient, lefty.
I don't know if I'm willing to move Soto, Judge down
for Rice. Ben Rice.
Yeah, as good as he is, that's fine. Like,
that's a good point.
Volpe could be a next level superstar.
You're right. The thing about somebody like Rice, he just hasn't played a lot of baseball. Yeah. So,
let's see.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, went to Dartmouth. We all know his story. COVID interrupted everybody's college seasons. He doesn't have a lot of at bats. So for him to look, and I know the average is low, but you watch him. He's got a plan. You know, he gets generally deep counts. He swings at good pitches. He squares enough balls up with some pop where you know he's got some juice there. Like, to me, Ben, he is interesting to me. He is an interesting possibility
he's
for the future.
Them. I think he's been a different, like, at first base, he's been a plus for him.
Yeah.
Not, again, not great, not super impactful, but he's helped them out.
Mm-hmm. Let me get Dave in Jackson, New Jersey. Dave, what's going on, buddy? BT and Sal?
What's going on? How are you guys?
Good. Hello, Davey.
Good. Why is Gleyber Torres still in that lineup? He's messing up, screwing up. Take him out. Switch him with someone else. He's a piece of crap in the lineup.
Well, that's not nice.
Dave, come on, dude. I'm a piece of crap. Hey, come on, Dave. You got to be a little better than that. A little respect. I mean, come on.
His defense is horrible.
Okay.
He's not hitting.
Yep. Well, he actually is. Well, hold on, Dave. He's hitting .320 since he got benched.
Since he got benched,
Got benched 20 games ago.
Yeah, should have been benched 3 years ago.
Listen, I'm not here to mount the defense for Gleyber Torres. I can't wait till he's eventually gone. But, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to pick on you. But, I mean, the guy is, at the very least, a decent player. Come on.
All right, I don't know.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
We'll see you, buddy.
Yeah.
You bored me. Come on.
I mean, you could knock him, but you can't be that nasty and personal.
That's just too dismissive. That's not accurate. That's not right. That's not cool.
And by the way, the Yankees, but according to reports, I don't know this myself, but I think the reports were last year, like they looked into moving Gleyber Torres.
With Miami, Pablo Lopez, right?
They just never, for whatever reason, they couldn't match up. I guess they couldn't match up. For whatever reason, they couldn't make the trade for Gleyber. They always felt like keeping him may have been more valuable. And you've seen when he is hot, he can be a difference-making bat, an impact bat, especially at second base. So that's been the appeal all these years. But Gleyber has never reached his full potential, both offensively, defensively, and then he does things on the diamond that cost you games or that are just knucklehead things. We're all going to look forward to the day where we move on from Gleyber Torres, and that's going to be when the season ends. They're not going to bring him back. It's over.
He's done.
But,
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just going to say, but they thought that holding on to him at this particular point was worth it and just ride it out the rest of the year, hope to have the best of them.
Yeah, and I didn't agree with that even going into the season.
Right.
You know, contract push, maybe you squeeze some more out of it, puts up massive numbers. I mean, but really, both guys. I mean, Alonso's been okay. Torres is beginning to play better, but both guys have really dropped the ball with their contract
Alonso's
years.
Been bad, but I'm starting to get the feeling it's now or never for Pete. I'm starting to get the feeling he's going to get hot and carry.
Well, I mean, it's August. Of course, it's now or never.
Saying,
geez,
now or never. I know, but never, he's finally starting to look.
You think
better,
a little better?
Yeah, I do. I think the last couple of series, you could start to see him coming out of it a little bit. Now we've seen some signs before, but this—if the Mets are going to have a successful season, now's the time. They desperately need him because Nimmo has done. He's been ice cold. The offense coming back down to earth a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Going on a big 10-game West Coast trip, as you said. Now they need Pete to take off and carry them for a couple of weeks.
Can I tell you one more thing? It's very different. Yeah. This doesn't apply to Pete at all, but it definitely applies to Gleyber Torres. And I think that this bothers me more than anything about any pro athlete. And that's why, like, I think a lot of people agree with my takes and you on Torres at this point, although a year or two ago they didn't. I think most people have come around to it because you just watch him play more and more and it's confounding.
Mm-hmm.
Stanton's frustrating because he can't run, but it's not because he doesn't want to. It's because his body's breaking down. Or, Nestor doesn't throw 98. I wish he did, but he doesn't. That's a physical limitation. I look at Gleyber Torres, and it really is offensive, where he was given so many tools and so many gifts, and the things that bother us the most about him are the things that you can control the most. Your level of engagement, your level of effort. Like, that's what drives me nuts about him.
Hey, you took issue with that a couple of weeks ago.
I remember.
I know you got on him pretty good for that. It upsets you, his lack of hustle.
I don't think I'm alone.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't bother me in the way that I think. Like, I think you're looking at it from a player's perspective where he's got all the talent in the world. You've said this. He's got all the talent in the world, and yet he doesn't maximize his talent because the effort is not there. For me, I just look at it like, I don't care how much talent you have. You play the game like a knucklehead, and I wouldn't want you on my team because you're going to cost me. That's my thing.
Let me get Al in Manhattan, BT and Sal on the fan. What's up, Al?
Yeah, what's happening, BT?
Hey.
Hey. Hey, Sal, I call you a lot about Seton Hall basketball, so it's good to speak with you again.
How are you, Al?
Yeah, not too bad. Hey, what happens if Cole has a bad outing and maybe gets taken out in like the, I don't know, second or third inning? Do you still go with him, or what do? Relegate him to a long inning guy, or what do you do? Thanks.
No, thanks for the call, Al. No, you're not doing anything other than praying with Gerrit Cole. He's got to be healthy, and he's got to be good for the Yankees to achieve the ultimate goal in winning a World Series, especially with the way the rest of that rotation has shaken out. Now, Luis Gil has been a great find for the Yankees, but again, you have to worry about or be concerned about the innings limit. For me, there are three question marks, big question marks with the Yankees rotation. None bigger than Gerrit Cole. If Cole goes out there on Sunday, you said, BT, you're supposed to start?
Yeah, Sunday, yep.
If Cole goes, is that a night game? Oh, no, it's an afternoon game. Afternoon game against the Blue Jays. If Cole goes out there on Sunday and struggles, the alarms are going to start to sound, because now it would be two bad starts in a row with a missed start or a start that was pushed back in between.
That's fair.
Now you have to, whatever confidence you had in Cole coming back from the injury is going to take a major hit, and that is a major concern. Couple that with the innings piling up for Heel, and couple that with the inconsistency of Rodon. Those are your three top guys.
Yeah. Well, and here's the additional problem. Trade deadline's over.
Yeah, right. There's no way to get it better. That's it. You could build a better bullpen as they did, and you're going to rely on Stroman to be consistent, sure. Cortez to battle, Clark Schmidt to come back, which is going to help theoretically.
Boy, he's going to look bad if, you know, if Cole's compromised and he didn't pull the trigger on Flaherty.
I would say that's I know you said it before, it's the most important game of the year. I think you're right. I think that not just the game, the result of the game, but without Gerrit Cole, I don't think that anything else really matters. Like, yeah, the Yankees might be able to hit their way to the postseason and through a postseason series or two, but without Gerrit Cole anchoring this already questionable rotation, I just don't see how they overcome that. They did the first part of the year. I don't see that happening again, BT, in the postseason.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And the ballgame's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
All right, today's Call of the Day brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Carmine, West Babylon. What's going on, Carmine?
What about the fact that, you know, people who may not get a chance to go to a regular season game, why are they not afforded the opportunity to see someone like Aaron Rodgers playing the preseason? Right? I mean, you got to forget, but like, you're still the fan. Like, the fan just gets taken out of this equation sometimes. And
oh, they don't care about you, Carmine.
Nor should they in this case. I mean, what do you want them to do?
Yeah, they don't care about me or Sal,
Sal,
nobody.
But Sal, hold on a second. Sal, you had a very cavalier attitude with when you guys were talking about pitchers and pitch limits and just let the pitch. You can't force the injuries. Why is this different here with Rodgers?
Because it's preseason. The games don't. It's not. The games that I'm talking about count. The games that I'm talking about count. You're talking about preseason. It's a big difference.
It couldn't be more different. Force the injuries.
Carmine, it could. It's not about that. It's not about that. We're talking about games that count. I want to win every game that matters. Every game that counts. I'm not talking. You're talking about preseason.
You couldn't be more different. You can't have it both sides here. It's either one or the other.
No.
You're saying the game.
Carmine, listen to me. One of the games matters. The others don't. That's a big difference. If Christian Scott, because that's the example that you're referencing, or any pitcher that comes out of a game after 70 pitches because he's not trying to win, I'd be okay with that. Do you know why? Because the game doesn't mean anything. The result of the game doesn't mean anything. There's a big difference.
All right. There you go. The BT and Sal call of the day. All right. Speaking of calls, you guys are waiting in line. Let's start pumping everybody in. Little Yanks, Mets, a little bit of everything. Nick is in Wayne, New Jersey. What's going on, Nick?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Right. What's up, Nick?
So, when it comes to this Yankees pitching staff, I do not have 100% confidence in pretty much like all of them when it comes to playoff time. I think Luke Weaver has been great. He had a little bit of a bump, but I think he's been really good. But it seems like for the Philly series example, like we get up a decent amount, 3-4 runs. We get to the bullpen, they cut it close, and then here comes Clay Holmes. I just don't have 100% confidence when it comes to the pitching staff.
That's fair. It's definitely fair. I mean, I think that if the Yanks are going to win anything this year, they're probably going to have to mash their way to it. which is why I wanted them to make it, you know, another move for another bat.
Well, that's part of the problem. And I'm not saying that Flaherty would have been the difference, but at least you would have said, okay, well, they have Flaherty. And then you need Cole and one of the others to hit for you, whether it's Luis Gil, whether it's Carlos Rodon. But at least you would have had Flaherty, you know, ideally penciled in. Again, could you trust him ultimately? Nobody knows what the hell is going to happen, but it would have given them better odds to have another starter who has been dominant since coming back healthy in that rotation. That's why the Dodgers did it. And or take on Blake Snell or whatever the Yankees could have done to add a starter. They did not, and now this is their rotation. Now, if everything goes well for them, and this is what Cashman was talking about, like, we've assembled the guys, but are they going to be able to get it done? If Gerrit Cole is close to being what he once was, check. If Luis Gil continues to do what he's doing right now and the innings aren't a factor, check. Now you're rolling. If Carlos Rodon gives you the majority of the time, the good Carlos Rodon, check. Now you're really on fire. So it's not like they don't have the potential at all.
Yeah.
Whereas the Mets just don't have that potential.
Okay, and how many times have we sat here last couple of years, and maybe there's more variables this year with this Yankee
right.
team, but generally when there's that many questions, that's not good.
Correct, because they're not all going to come up checks. But the good part of it, and by the way, that's just the rotation. We went over the lineup stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The good part of it is if I give you the best case scenario for the Mets, Severino, average, like solid, Quintana, and there are all innings concerns with those guys. Quintana, solid.
Yeah.
You know, Senga,
the upside's lower.
Yeah.
For all those
right, so
guys.
So even if all those
except
guys,
Senga.
Even if all, and he's not there. So
no,
even if all those guys hit, meaning they do their job, it's still like, okay, but are we sure it's even enough? Even with that,
yeah.
That's the difference. That if the Yankees, if everything goes well, no doubt they could be dominant. It's a big if, though.
How about Corey and Manalapan? Corey, what's going on, buddy? You're on the Fan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just have a question for you. I mean, I'm a little disappointed in Cashman. I think that he could have done a little bit more. I don't even say a little. I think he should have did a lot more. I think we needed more help in the infield. I certainly think we needed somebody else to compete with Holmes, because I think that sometimes, when he comes in, I hold my breath all the time. But the other thing is, my real question is, whose fault do you think it is? Do you think it's Cashman's, or do you think it's really Steinbrenner's?
When you say fault,
what,
that they weren't more proactive and where it was taking on money or
right.
giving up draft picks? Who's
right.
fault? I think... I got to be
honest,
Corey, listen, do I really know? I'd be lying if I said exactly the level of influence or restraint. We talked about John Mara earlier
right.
with, you know, allowing Shane and Dable to do what they did or maybe didn't do and that whole thing that played out on Hard Knocks. I think that at the end of the day, I don't know this, but I believe this strongly, that at the end of the day, Hal Steinbrenner allows his baseball people to be baseball people. I believe that with every part of me. I do.
Right, but working under the constraints of a salary cap because of the luxury tax threshold. Obviously not a literal salary cap, but he's referenced it many times about the luxury tax threshold. It's a new thing. I get the sense that his father wouldn't have given a crap. He probably would have blown past it in the right situation. Like, you're not just going to give away money, but Hal has made that a point. And the Yankees have operated. This is why you got into it with Cashman the other day. The Yankees have operated just like a high-end team, not the team that blows away everybody the way that they used to.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, the Yankees want to win, or the Yankees obsessed with winning. That's how I frame it.
Right.
There's a big difference.
They definitely want to win.
Of course they want to win.
And they've definitely, like, they did bring in Soto. Like, it's not like they haven't brought in any good players. Here's all you need to know. The New York Yankees got outbid for Aaron Judge. That is a fact. It is a fact that I brought up to Brian Cashman's face. The Yankees got outbid for Aaron Judge. In what world are we living in that the Yankees would ever dare let somebody outbid them for one of the best players ever, the best player I've ever seen, and a guy who's an absolute stud in every facet? Now, they're lucky that he wanted to take the hometown discount.
Yeah.
They're lucky. But that is, like, that's just not normal. They got outbid from Judge, of all people. And now I'm supposed to believe that they're not going to be outbid for Soto? I'm not buying it. I think that they will. That's been, right or wrong, whatever their logic and reasons are, those are just the facts. Oh, they got outbid for Yamamoto. They wanted them. They went to a certain extent to get him, but ultimately they got outbid. That's not something that Yankee fans are used to.
Let me get Gio in Secaucus. What's up, Gio? How you doing? Gio, you there?
Hello?
Let's
What's
go,
up,
bud.
Gio?
Yeah, you're going through the position players for next year's team. I wanted to tell you that you missed someone.
Who?
Aquil Peraza a factor for third base?
Yeah, maybe.
Not if he doesn't learn how to hit. He's not going to be a factor or anything. Maybe the Ducks will pick him up. He can't hit.
Ducks.
I mean, let me ask you a question.
And then after the Ducks cut him, maybe the Mets will pick him up.
At what point, and I'm not saying that Peraza can't find a way to find his way here, but he doesn't hit.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, you got to see it pan out here. It sucks that he got hurt, because I do think he could have been a factor. But yeah, that's next year. I don't even think we should focus on
this. Maybe we just mess around with the lineup because of the whole, Jazz, Volpe, and rearrangement of that. But no, I mean, yeah, next year. Danny's in Garwood. What's happening, Danny?
Hey, BT Show, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, Danny?
Hey, buddy.
Listen, first of all, I got to, BT, I got to take your back a little bit, man. You got the guy calling yesterday saying you didn't do a good job with Cashman. I don't know what that guy was talking about. You've been the biggest critic of Cashman I've seen, around. And here's the thing, what I don't think some people realize is that you get the guy on the show, it's tough enough to get that guy, like, squeezing lemons as it is. You get him on there, what are you going to do? If you attack him, he's never going to come on again. I don't think they understand that. There's got to be some kind of in the middle, but...
Oh, no, Danny, I appreciate that. I feel very good. We feel very good about the interview, and that's why it's a subjective, medium. I mean, some people loved it. Some people thought it was one of the best ever that he's done in a while. Some people thought it was soft, and that's fine. I thought it was really good. So did Sal.
Yeah. Now, for the most part, I was agreeing with you guys, and believe it or not, I actually was agreeing with Sal 100% with everything you guys were saying as far as who he's got faith in with the Yankees and who he doesn't. I'd like to dream that LeMahieu's coming back, but I know it's probably not. It's just been too long and too much bad, but, maybe some kind of miracle. I doubt it. But I think the biggest problem, I'm not going to go with the starting pitching. I mean, obviously, listen, if Cole is hurt, we're cooked. I mean, you can't even go into that. Cole, there's nothing to even talk about there. If he comes back and he gets bombed again and they sit him down and shut him down or there's an injury, something shows up, we're majorly in trouble and there's nothing you can really do about that.
I'm sorry, Dan, I cut you off there. The only way that they could overcome that is if Rodon is what he was last time out the majority of time and Luis Gil has no drop off the rest of the way. Then you could make a case that they still have a good 1-2 punch and a loaded bullpen.
Yeah, or like the bullpen still scares me, but if Schmidt came back and he was like how he had been. If you get some kind of or heel starts, I mean, with any limit, I don't know what he's going to do.
Right.
But if he steps up and becomes like the ace that he had been, and he can take the ball. But other than that, if Cole goes down, they're obviously in major trouble. But let's just say for argument's sake or hypothetically, Cole is going to be okay, and or at least he'll be there for the postseason and be okay. Now, so he's there. If that's the case, as of right now, you have to assume that's the case because he's there right now. So I think, as of now, the bullpen's a bigger issue. I know they made a couple moves. I'm not blown away with none of the moves that they made, mostly because you didn't get that one guy that can take over for Holmes. Holmes is still such a – and when you get into the playoffs, everybody talks about the playoffs being this thing where this is where, the best pitching and the bats get harder, and this is where you need clutch hitting. It's also where bullpens blow games and ruin series, too. And you don't need Clay Holmes. Has already been a head case as it is. Up in every time he pitches, I think I'm going to have a car.
I don't know if he's a head case, Dan. I don't think he's a head case. Thanks for the call. Good call. Good stuff. Head case or just maybe not perfect profile for a closer because he doesn't strike enough guys out. Isn't it crazy? Like, imagine, back in the day, sitting here saying, oh, man, we need somebody who can get more strike. The guy throws 99 miles an hour,
right.
Sinker. And now, the criticisms are true.
He's blown a lot of saves.
No.
That's the issue.
I hear you. But think about, generally closers that... Remember Keith Folk?
Yeah, sure.
Trevor Hoffman had a great changeup. He didn't throw gas. You think closer, you think Goose, you think Billy Wagner for the Mets, you think, obviously, Mariano. He's not... It's to me, it's baffling that you could throw almost 100 miles per hour and not miss more bats.
And not be a strikeout guy.
Yeah.
Think about this, though. The biggest criticism of Holmes is what? He doesn't strike enough guys out. Right. And the Yankees want a guy, or fans want a guy, that can get more strikeouts. Why? Now, why is that such an important thing? Because we've seen Clay Holmes with guys putting the bat on the ball.
Saw it the other night, a little seven hopper.
Doesn't matter. You put the bat on the ball, things can happen.
Mm-hmm.
So now think about it the reverse. the Yankees offensively, at least for the majority of the last decade, and a lot of teams in sports, don't care about batters who strike out a lot. That's opposite from how they feel about pitching.
Yeah.
Now, why is that the case? Because if you got a lineup of guys that put the bat on the ball in play,
mm-hmm.
guess what? Good things can happen. It's like it was in 2022 for the Mets. So it shouldn't be, oh, well, we want all power arms in the rotation to strike guys out because you value striking guys out, right? That's a lot. And then at the same time, build a lineup that strikes out a ton and don't care.
That's interesting.
It doesn't make any sense.
I never thought of it that way.
But yeah, it is a contradiction.
It is a big contradiction.
The Yankees are a contradiction.
Well, I don't think they're the only team that's looking for high, you know, strikeout rate arms in the bullpen build their teams with guys who strike out a lot.
Correct, but in this particular case where you want a strikeout guy specifically because your closer is not that, you've seen firsthand how you could get beat, even with a guy with nasty stuff like Clay Holmes, you see how you could get beat just by guys putting the bat on the ball, which should then in turn put a premium on what you want offensively in guys who could make contact.
Yeah, you make a good point. I mean, the biggest problem with Holmes is, and there's a couple, we just outlined the biggest one, the contact, but when it's extra innings, man on second.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where it's amplified. Yeah. It's like, all right, a little seven hopper.
That's not a rule in the postseason.
No, but I'm saying now.
Okay, yeah,
I'm not talking about the playoffs here.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal, back here on The Fan 148. Let's start wrapping it up. But before we do that, Steve is in Nanuet, and we'll hand it over to Evan and Tiki coming up next here on The Fan. Steve, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate
okay,
it.
Okay, Steve, you got it.
Yeah, I just had turned on the radio. I caught the tail end of speaking about Holmes not being a strikeout pitcher. I just wanted to get your opinion on when Schmidt comes back, or if the Yankees ever do get to the point where they have extra starting pitching, mm-hmm. about your opinion on moving Heel to the closer role.
Listen, I think he's got the stuff to do it. I even think he's got the disposition to do it. You know, you don't really know until you actually do it. You know, it's so funny. You're like, well, what's the difference, dude? You're throwing a baseball, you're throwing the same pitches that you throw in the first inning. But mentally, it is an obstacle for a lot of players, and I don't really have a reason why, except that it's a different routine. But I want him to be a Yankee rotational linchpin for the next 5, 6, 7 years, not the closer.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm assuming he's just talking about it for now.
Yeah, no, I know, but I'm saying I'm kind of stretching it out.
If the Luis Gil is more valuable to the Yankees starting game two or potentially game one of a postseason series than he would be coming out of the bullpen. Out of the bullpen, they could figure it out. It's going to be, I mean, Clay Holmes going to be their closer. I mean, could Mark Leiter Jr. potentially take over that role? I don't think so. I think it's going to be Clay Holmes, and you just have to hope that the guy is lights out and is an all-star, and even if he gives up the contact, the Yankees figure out a way around that. Who the hell is going to start these games? So, now, could Luis Gil be moved to the bullpen if he starts to become less effective as a starter because the innings pile up and he's not the same guy? Sure. I mean, Cashman talked about that. I asked him directly the other day, what's the plan with Luis Gil? The plan's going to be seeing how this plays out. So far, he hit one little bump in the road, but he bounced back nicely. Until he starts to show signs that he's not the same because of maybe the wear and tear of the innings, then I don't think the Yankees have to move him at all. They can maybe ride this out through October, be smart, be cautious, not make him go 6, 7 innings every start, but make him go 5 innings, preserve those innings, and in the postseason, unleash him as a game two or game one starter. That's where the value is.
Let me ask you that. Yeah, well, why not if, all right, so if innings truly are the impediment here, which they're going to be at some point.
I mean, only if it causes him to be less effective.
For sure.
It's not just I don't think this is, we talked about this earlier in the year, it's not an innings limit to preserve
health. Not. It's not.
It's about effective or not.
So it's not a preemptive move. It's a move to make sure if he's still dialed in, they're going to let him eat.
Correct.
I hope. That's
what Cashman said.
Let's see if they actually, I believe that they'll adhere to it. I believe that. So rather, but let's say that they do say, all right, we want to put him in the pen. Let's just say that happens. Wouldn't you be better off not making him the closer, but have him be like the setup man and go 2, 3 innings. Get like 5 or 6 outs. Why limit it maybe to one inning?
Like Buddo, you don't have to. It is a transition going from starter to being a reliever. Yeah. I mean, he could be a weapon out of that bullpen. I like those guys.
That you can deploy whenever you want. Yeah. Like, it doesn't have to be.
You know, like David Cone back in the day, whenever you wanted to use him at a certain spot out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
I mean, even the beginning with Mariano before he became the closer.
You're talking about with Wetland?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, find that high leverage spot. Hell, if the high leverage spot's two on, two out in the sixth inning, bring him into the sixth and let him go to seventh and maybe dabble into the eighth.
Right. Until there's a lane that you don't want them to go in. Those guys, it's why I love Buddo. Now, here's the problem. The Mets had that with Lugo, too. It's okay if you do it like the Rays did it with David Price when he first came up, if you remember. Remember, Price first came up as a rookie. They had him out of the bullpen, I'm pretty sure.
Did they?
But anyway, yes. And then what the Mets did it with Seth Lugo, was a starter, then they put him in the bullpen. You become a weapon because you're pitching multiple innings. But the problem is, those guys could also be good starters. They have it with Buddo right now. In a short season, well, the rest of the way, fine. You want to maximize him coming out of the pen. But ultimately, those guys are better off as starters.
Let's get Artie in Brooklyn. What's up, Artie?
Hey, guys. Welcome back, BC.
Thank you.
Before I talk Mets just real quick, I was at Marine Park yesterday.
Yeah.
And we had a foursome, and there's two guys behind me.
Yeah.
6'5" guy. And I went to apologize to say, listen, I hope you're not holding you up. I look at him and I'm going, yo, Larry Johnson.
Larry Johnson.
It's playing behind me.
Wow.
And the dude is nice enough to bring a head cover to me with a big smile and a cigar saying, yo, you forgot something. I said, I hope you don't think that I did it on purpose. But, dude, let me give you a hug.
That's awesome.
That's great.
That is awesome.
So, as far as the Mets, I called Sal. My son said your imitation of me screaming was perfect. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't scream like that. And he goes, you're doing it right now.
Yeah,
right. Now, Sal, I want to know, are you satisfied or are you down on what the – because you wanted Snell in the worst way, but Snell didn't get dealt. The Yankees didn't get a big-time starter. Are you down on the Mets and their moves?
Yes. Yes, because they have waited.
I just want you to be consistent.
Yeah, I am. They have waited. They improved their club, sure. Bullpen has improved. They got a better starter than Tyler McGill, so you replace him with Blackburn. We'll see what he can do tonight in his first start with the Mets. But, yeah, I would have preferred, Artie, I'll take it a step further. If they're not going to go all in and buy the way that I would have, because I like winning. And I want to go for it now, not wait till next year or 3 years. I like winning and going for it now. If you're not going to do that, then show the guts to take advantage of an extreme seller's market and sell off pieces who are not going to be a part of this team's future anyway for people who could be. That would have been the real gutsy move. And Stearns didn't have it.
You know, the truth of the matter is, and Artie, a glitch is getting a little loud.
Yeah.
But I think, and I know that we oversimplify this because on some level you have to, otherwise you just never advance the conversation, but I think both of these situations for the Yanks and the Mets were, like what they should do with the deadline, were a little more complex than we're letting on. I don't think that they were easy calls in either direction. Flaherty's medicals, giving up Spencer Jones, giving up somebody else.
I would not have given up Spencer Jones for Flaherty, for the record.
I'm just saying, maybe even not that year, whether it was for Paredes or other stuff. Diaz. But is it like the Flaherty medicals, the parting with the prospects, like the Mets kind of, how far do they go in, even though nobody really thinks they're a World Series team? Like, I don't think that there was a lot of obvious stuff. Like, the one thing that the Yankees had to do, was get a potent, influential bat. And they did.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying I didn't want more. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But I feel like the Yankees and the Mets GMs, they were, it was tough navigation.
That's life.
I understand that. I'm not feeling sorry for them. I'm just saying.
Also, if the Yankees had this deadline a week ago, you would have lost your mind. But because you were losing your mind. 7 weeks, they were the second worst team in baseball behind the historically bad White Sox. And everybody's screaming, you got to do something, you got to do something, got to do a lot. But then because they've won five in a row now, it's like, oh, okay, well, Jazz is great. Because he's hit four home runs in four games. Yeah, and his energy, his personality, all that seems great right now. It's five-game winning streak. He's been here for four games. Like, he's not going to be the difference maker for this team, or at least I wouldn't expect that to be the case moving forward. It was other things that got them going. The same guys that were failing got them going. Had the Yankees just traded for Jazz and Mark Leiter Jr. in the midst of their seven-week brutal stretch, I think everybody would have lost their minds. But because, fortunate timing for them, they started to play much better and win some games going into the deadline, it's easier to accept. The Mets needed to show the guts and say, this isn't it. This team this year, we're going to stick to our plan and be disciplined, and we're going to take advantage of a seller's market and sell these guys and maximize return. They half-weighed it. That's something I can't get behind.
All right, let's bag some wins this weekend. You get a couple for your boys. My boys will bring us a few. We'll reconvene next week. You're actually off the whole week, dude.
I'm bagging some surf sides this weekend.
Have a good time off.
Decompress.
Enjoy it. You earned it, man. So I'll be solo Monday and Tuesday, and then I'm off the rest of the week. But have a great weekend, Sal. Everybody have an outstanding weekend. Good luck to both baseball teams. We will have a lot of rain, I think, coming up this weekend. So it's probably going to complicate the beach, whatever. But do what you got to do. I'll catch you on Monday. Evan and Takey up next. We'll see you on The Fan. Bye-bye. It's amplified. Yeah. It's like, all right, a little Stephen Hopper.
That's not a rule in the postseason.
No, but I'm saying
right?
Now. Okay. I'm not talking about the playoffs here.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, BT and Sal. Back here on The Fan 148. Let's start wrapping it up, but before we do that, Steve is in Nanuet, and we'll hand it over to Evan and Tiki coming up next here on The Fan. Steve, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Okay, Steve, you got it.
Yeah, I just had turned on the radio. I caught the tail end of speaking about Holmes not being a strikeout pitcher. I just wanted to get your opinion on when Schmidt comes back, or if the Yankees ever do get to the point where they have extra starting pitching, mm-hmm. about your opinion on moving heel to the closer role.
Listen, I think he's got the stuff to do it. I even think he's got the disposition to do it. You know, you don't really know until you actually do it. It's so funny. You're like, well, what's the difference, dude? You're throwing a baseball, you're throwing the same pitches that you throw in the first inning, but mentally, it is an obstacle for a lot of players, and I don't really have a reason why, except that it's a different routine. But I want him to be a Yankee rotational linchpin for the next 5, 6, 7 years, not the closer.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm assuming he's just talking about it for now.
Yeah, no, I know, but I'm saying I'm kind of stretching it out.
If the Luis Gil is more valuable to the Yankees starting game two or potentially game one of a postseason series than he would be coming out of the bullpen. Out of the bullpen, they could figure it out. It's going to be, I mean, Clay Holmes is going to be their closer. I mean, could Mark Leiter Jr. potentially take over that role? I don't think so. I think it's going to be Clay Holmes, and you just have to hope that the guy is lights out and is an all-star, and even if he gives up the contact, the Yankees figure out a way around that. Who the hell is going to start these games? So, now, could Luis Gil be moved to the bullpen if he starts to become less effective as a starter because the innings pile up and he's not the same guy? Sure. I mean, Cashman talked about that. I asked him directly the other day, what's the plan with Luis Gil? The plan's going to be seeing how this plays out. So far, he hit one little bump in the road, but he bounced back nicely. Until he starts to show signs that he's not the same because of maybe the wear and tear or the innings, then I don't think the Yankees have to move him at all. They can maybe ride this out through October, be smart, be cautious, not make him go 6, 7 innings every start, but make him go 5 innings, preserve those innings, and in the postseason, unleash him as a game two or game one starter. That's where the value is.
Let me ask you that. Yeah, well, why not? If innings truly are the impediment here, which they're going to be at some point.
I mean, only if it causes him to be less effective.
For sure.
It's not just I don't think this is, we talked about this earlier in the year, it's not an innings limit to preserve
health. No, it's not. It's not.
It's about effective or not.
So it's not a preemptive move. It's a move to make sure if he's still dialed in, they're going to let him eat.
Correct.
I hope.
That's what Cashman said.
I know, yeah. But let's see if they actually, I believe that they'll adhere to it. I believe that. So rather, but let's say that they do say, all right, we want to put him in the pen. Let's just say that happens. Wouldn't you be better off not making him the closer, but have him be like the setup man and go 2, 3 innings. Get like 5 or 6 outs. One inning.
Like Buddha, you don't have to. It is a transition going from starter to being a reliever. Yeah. I mean, he could be a weapon out of that bullpen. I like those guys.
That you can deploy whenever you want. Yeah. Like, it doesn't have to be.
You know, like David Cone back in the day, whenever you wanted to use him at a certain spot out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
I mean, even just in the beginning with Mariano before he became the closer.
What are you talking about with Wetland?
Yeah.
Yeah, find that high leverage spot. Hell, if the high leverage spot's two on, two out in the sixth inning, bring him into the sixth and let him go to seventh and maybe dabble into the eighth.
Right. Until there's a lane that you don't want them to go in. Those guys, it's why I love Buddha. Now, here's the problem. The Mets had that with Lugo, too. It's okay if you do it like the Rays did it with David Price when he first came up, if you remember. Remember, Price first came up as a rookie. They had him out of the bullpen, I'm pretty sure.
Did they?
But anyway, yes. And then what the Mets did it with Seth Lugo, was a starter, then they put him in the bullpen. You become a weapon because you're pitching multiple innings. But the problem is, those guys could also be good starters. They have it with Buto right now. In a short season, or the rest of the way, fine. You want to maximize him coming out of the pen. But ultimately, those guys are better off as starters.
Let's get Artie in Brooklyn. What's up, Artie?
Hey, guys. Welcome back, BC.
Thank you.
Before I talk Mets just real quick, I was at Marine Park yesterday.
Yeah.
And we had a foursome, and there's two guys behind me.
Yeah.
6'5" guy. And I went to apologize to say, listen, I hope you're not holding you up. I look at him and I'm going, yo, Larry Johnson.
Larry Johnson.
It's playing behind me.
Wow.
And the dude is nice enough to bring a head cover to me with a big smile and a cigar saying, yo, you forgot something. I said, I hope you don't think that I did it on purpose. But, dude, let me give you a hug.
That's awesome.
That's great.
That is awesome.
So, as far as the Mets, I called Sal. My son said your imitation of me screaming was perfect. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't scream like that. And he goes, you're doing it right now.
Yeah,
right.
Now,
Sal, I want to know, are you satisfied or are you down on what the – because you wanted Snell in the worst way, but Snell didn't get dealt. The Yankees didn't get a big-time starter. Are you down on the Mets and their moves?
Yes. Yes, because they have waited.
I just want you to be consistent.
Yeah, I am. They have waited. They improved their club, sure. Bullpen has improved. They got a better starter than Tyler McGill, so you replace him with Blackburn. We'll see what he can do tonight in his first start with the Mets. But, yeah, I would have preferred, Artie, I'll take it a step further. If they're not going to go all in and buy the way that I would have, because I like winning. And I want to go for it now, not wait till next year or 3 years. I like winning and going for it now. If you're not going to do that, then show the guts to take advantage of an extreme seller's market and sell off pieces who are not going to be a part of this team's future anyway for people who could be. That would have been the real gutsy move. And Stearns didn't have it.
You know, the truth of the matter is, and Artie, Klitsch is getting a little loud.
Yeah.
But I think, and I know that we oversimplify this because on some level you have to, otherwise you just never advance the conversation, but I think both of these situations for the Yanks and the Mets were, like what they should do with the deadline, were a little more complex than we're letting on. I don't think that they were easy calls in either direction. Flaherty's medicals, giving up Spencer Jones, giving up somebody else.
I would not have given up Spencer Jones for Flaherty, for the record.
I'm just saying, maybe even not that year, whether it was for Paredes or other stuff. Diaz.
Mm-hmm.
But is it like the Flaherty medicals, the parting with the prospects, like the Mets kind of, how far do they go in, even though nobody really thinks they're a World Series team? Like, I don't think that there was a lot of obvious stuff. Like, the one thing that the Yankees had to do, was get a potent, influential bat. And they did.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying I didn't want more. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But I feel like the Yankees and the Mets GMs, they were, it was tough navigation.
That's life.
I understand that. I'm not feeling sorry for them. I'm just saying.
Also, if the Yankees had this deadline a week ago, you would have lost your mind. But because you were losing your mind. 7 weeks, they were the second worst team in baseball behind the historically bad White Sox. And everybody's screaming, you got to do something, you got to do something, got to do a lot. But then because they've won five in a row now, it's like, oh, okay, well, Jazz is great. Because he's hit four home runs in four games. Yeah, and his energy, his personality, all that seems great right now. It's five-game winning streak. He's been here for four games. Like, he's not going to be the difference maker for this team, or at least I wouldn't expect that to be the case moving forward. It was other things that got them going. The same guys that were failing got them going. Had the Yankees just traded for Jazz and Mark Leiter Jr. in the midst of their seven-week brutal stretch, I think everybody would have lost their minds. But because fortunate timing for them, they started to play much better and win some games going into the deadline, it's easier to accept. The Mets needed to show the guts and say, this isn't it. This team this year, we're going to stick to our plan and be disciplined, and we're going to take advantage of a seller's market and sell these guys and maximize return. They halfway it. That's something I can't get beyond.
All right, let's bag some wins this weekend. You get a couple for your boys. My boys will bring us a few. We'll reconvene next week. You're actually off the whole week,
I'm bagging some surfsides this weekend.
Have a good time off. Decompress.
You.
Enjoy it. You earned it, man. So I'll be solo Monday and Tuesday, and then I'm off the rest of the week. But have a great weekend, Sal. Everybody have an outstanding weekend. Good luck to both baseball teams. We will have a lot of rain, I think, coming up this weekend. So it's probably going to complicate the beach, whatever. But do what you got to do. I'll catch you on Monday. Evan and Takey up next. We'll see you on The Fan. Bye-bye.